the simple fact is that state laws impact people statewide.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a special celebration of the New York Public News Network. Well, as we get ready for WAMC's June Fund Drive, we've been offering some specials on different facets of where your donations to WAMC's nonprofit news operation go. The other day, I joined my colleagues Sarah LaDuke and Jimmy Vielkind, John Campbell, and Denise Young of the New York Public News Network to talk about how the stations across New York State came together to form a news network and expand the Capitol Bureau in Albany. Here's our special conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the time that is normally the roundtable, but this morning we're doing WAMC Uninterrupted with a focus on the New York Public News Network. We are trying to highlight and remind all of our listeners out there what they value about public broadcasting generally and WAMC specifically, and we are encouraging you to pledge online at WAMC.org. Do whatever you can. Become a sustaining member. Help ensure that we will be on the air, uninterrupted, continuing through time until forever. Forever and ever and ever.
That sounds daunting.
And the only way to do that, and if not, you know, not us, literally us, the humans sitting in the studio this morning, but people who are devoted to the cause. You can pledge online anytime at WAMC.org. You can also give us a call, 800-323-9262. I am, in case I didn't say, Sarah LaDuke. And I'm here in the studio this morning with a bunch of newsy folks. And we will begin with Ian Pickus, our news director. Why don't you tell me who you've brought in today, sir?
Good morning, Sarah.
Why did I call you sir? That's not going to stick.
It's just weird making eye contact with you. You know, when we were talking about doing a special series for a week of highlighting what WAMC offers to this wonderful listening audience, it was very early on that we said, hey, the New York Public News Network is something we're extremely proud of. It's a great thing to be a part of. And we haven't really spent time on the air talking about how it came together or what it offers. And sitting with us in Studio A today here in Albany are two people who WAMC called on for years and years for their analysis and followed their reporting. And maybe the New York Public News Network is a little bit like the Los Angeles Dodgers, because now they're both part of the public broadcasting family here in New York State. And I'm joined by Jimmy Vielkind and John Campbell, who are two heavy hitters in New York State government and politics reporting. Good morning, fellows.
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Listeners should know we're both shaking our heads at that shameful, shameful Dodgers analogy.
You're Mookie shameful. Betts, John's Shohei Ohtani. Tag yourself.
Yeah.
So you guys have been covering the Capitol for how long? It's been forever, right?
This fall will mark my 17th year at the state capitol. I started as a reporter for the New York Observer the day before Election Day in 2008.
The day before Election Day in 2008.
Right. Nice learning curve.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a big
and
day.
If anyone ever offers you a job as a political reporter starting the day before Election Day, there's a two-word response that you should give them that I can't say on the radio.
Thanks for your forbearance. How about you, John?
I started as an intern for Gannett Newspapers in 2009, came back full-time in 2011. So, what is that, 15-ish years? So, yeah, it's been a while.
And we
certainly
say,
feels like forever.
We should say, you know, listeners to this station and to the New York public stations know that Karen DeWitt was our Capitol reporter in Albany for over 30 years and had retired last year. And that gave us an opportunity to look at maybe expanding the Capitol Bureau. So tell us what you are both working on now under the aegis of WNYC and the New York Public News Network.
Yeah, absolutely. So Karen and I got hired by WNYC in 2021. Karen, as Ian had just said, had been there for over 30 years by that point. We worked together until her retirement last year. And there was an opportunity there to expand the Bureau. WXXI, the New York Public News Network, hired Jung Yoon Han to replace Karen, and the network hired Jimmy Vielkind from the Wall Street Journal to expand the Bureau. So, and we every day are working together to figure out how best to cover the New York State Capitol for a network of public news stations across the state. And, you know, it is, there are things that are New York City specific that I tend to cover. There are things that are statewide that Jung Yoon tends to cover. And then there's kind of more enterprise stories that Jimmy tends to cover. So, you know, we have three people in a bureau here covering the state capitol for listeners all across the state as best we can to you know, put that wild, weird place into plain English for people across the state. And, you know, there's never a dull moment, ever. I mean, there's always something interesting happening at the capitol. And thankfully for public radio listeners, we have three reporters there who are there to document it and tell you what you need to know.
Well, that's exactly right, John. And one of the things that I think is so amazing about the New York Public News Network and this bureau is that we do have the ability to break down the issues of the day, but also to really connect policies with the people who are affected by them. So what I was most attracted to by taking this position was this ability to kind of go out in the field. And so just this past week, listeners of this station might have heard a report about a proposal to regulate food additives. And in order to report that, I spent some time at the Troy Farmers Market talking with an organic farmer, listening to the perspectives of food. And so having such a strong, robust Capitol Bureau supported by the New York Public News Network and servicing all 12 stations in the state, having a total statewide audience, I really think gives us a tremendous platform for our work, as well as the support we need to dig deeper and really serve the listening audience across all of New York.
We want to bring in another guest who's joining us, and I'll have Ian introduce them in a moment, but I want to remind you all that we are highlighting the programming we provide on WAMC that you can't get anywhere else, as we ask for you to, you know, pony up, essentially, show your support for public radio and give us a call at 800-323-9262 or go online at WAMC.org. Give what you can when you can for the news that you value and that keeps you informed about the goings on in your state and region.
So this partnership, the New York Public News Network, I would say it's a relatively new effort, and it needs a benevolent dictator to keep it all pointed in the right direction. And that is Denise Young, who runs the news operation at WXXI in Rochester. Denise, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. It's exciting to talk to you not on a meeting.
Exactly.
So how is your station doing given the threats to public broadcasting right now? And how do you think it changes what we're all doing here in New York?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was joking. I've had three pledge shifts this week. This is my fourth pledge shift, except for it's a different station. So we're in the same boat as everybody, of course, all the public media across the nation. We're facing this threat, the loss of a big chunk of our budget. We're asking, the community to help us, you know, fill that gap. And it's been really gratifying so far to see how people are. They understand, they value the, you know, just what we do in public media, what we bring to them, all the services we provide, and they are totally stepping up and understanding that, they want to preserve what we're doing here.
Now, for listeners who were not involved in all of the conversations, can you break down how the Karen DeWitt New York State Public Radio stations eventually formalized and came together to become the New York Public News Network? Because I don't think that would have happened without you.
Well, thank you. Far more people were involved than just me. I kind of help run the meetings and just make sure that we're, you know, the trains keep running, I guess. We are... The partnership goes way, way back, way before I even started at WXXI nine years ago. It was a CPB grant funded project called Upstate Insight, and it involved a handful of stations. And it kind of evolved. It was Innovation Trail for a little while. I don't know if your listeners remember that, but you know, they had reports about the economy and the innovation economy. And then that kind of faded out, and I came on board, and my initial job title was executive editor for collaborative journalism. WXXI has always been a champion for collaborative journalism, and so really, we tried to talk to all the New York stations, try to bring us all together so we could share resources, including stories, expand our reach. And I don't know, something magic happened in the last 3 or 4 years. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to be a part of it, and it was great. Our recently retired news director, Randy Gorman, was also key in making sure that we had as many stations join as possible. And I'd say within the last year or two, we formalized it with a memorandum of understanding that all of our station leaders signed, in expressing the importance of banding together as the public news stations across New York State, making sure that we are working together to bring our listeners, our community, you know, our listeners, our readers, any platform you're on, we're trying to make sure that we're getting the vital information that they need. And the sharing that's going on now, it only benefits our audience. It's great.
I don't know if people noticed, just listening to the newscast, we had a Jimmy Veal kind of voicer within the last newscast that Ray Graff just delivered. But a lot of times when you're hearing stuff on this station and others where the reporter is signing off for the New York Public News Network, that story may have come from any corner of New York State. So where are some of the communities and stations that have joined the compact, Denise?
Boy, we have 13 now. When we started the Memorandum of Understanding, we had 12, and now we have 13. So we're everywhere, obviously Albany and Rochester, Syracuse, Buffalo, North Country, NYC, New York City, Oswego, Long Island, down in Binghamton, and another one in Long Island. So we're well represented downstate and upstate.
Jimmy and John, I want to bring you into the conversation. How do you both look at reporting on issues that might affect more than, you know, WNYC's coverage area or WAMC's coverage area? What is it that binds New York together from the perspective of state government and beyond?
Well, the simple fact is that state laws impact people statewide. And I think that it's our job as journalists to, as frequently as we can, to get out of the Capitol and to really explain how policies, when they're either under consideration or while they're being implemented, directly impact our communities. And so I think the best stories should be told in one place, but also make very clear how it is indicative and illustrative of communities across New York State. And as Denise said, we are reaching a vast, broad, diverse set of audiences from Buffalo to Brookhaven, and from the Bronx all the way up to Malone. I don't know a B community.
I was trying to think of one too.
Sarah's a North Country native. I was looking for you, Sarah.
I know. I was like, oh, he's trying to do Bs, but yeah. Malone is as high up there as you can get about.
In order to do that, it's been a lot of work to sort of go into the field, find people who are really impacted by these policies, sharing their stories, either as they relate to the debate over things like medical aid in dying or physician-assisted suicide, as they are experiencing immigration debates and how the state should be responding to the Trump administration's crackdown and deportation campaigns. So having, again, a single platform for all of our work and recognizing that we really are serving a statewide audience, I think makes things more impactful. And it drives home not just to ourselves, but also to state lawmakers, that what they are doing is far bigger than a debate within an old stone building in downtown Albany. It has implications for nearly 20 million people all around New York.
Now, John, you are from Western New York. You've been a reporter here in Albany and in Binghamton. How is your perspective as someone who has been in a lot of places in New York State play out as a reporter now based in the Capitol?
Well, I would also say Jimmy's originally from the Capitol region, and Jung Yoon Han, our third reporter, is from the Syracuse area. We've got that I-90 corridor just nailed down. But, you know, the perspective is invaluable, honestly. I mean, like, it is, we know, Jimmy and I have been all over this state and have reported from all over this state. And we know just by the nature of where our job has taken us over the years, you know, we know this state well, and we use that institutional knowledge to help inform our listeners and our readers, and you know, to build on what Jimmy was saying there, you know, it is the policy that comes out of the New York State Capitol most often applies statewide, right? And it is just a very good vehicle to use our reporting and use this one platform and get it across, get it out to the entire state. You know, if you're in New York State and you're listening to this, listening to my voice right now, there's a good chance that you are going to get an inflation refund check later this year. That is something that was passed in the state budget last week. And we have the ability to put out news reports on that, tell you what you're going to get, how you're going to get it, and have that serve a statewide audience. And that's all because of this New York Public News Network effort.
Gothamist made an online tool to see how much you're getting. And I think if the Corporation for Public Broadcasting filled it out, it's not going to be enough.
Well, it's not going to be any more than $400. So I think that's probably not enough. But yeah, no, we listen, we rely on the support of listeners. And, you know, we're hoping that you, the listener, support can see the value in this effort that we're putting forth here, and see the value in getting state capital coverage from trusted reporters who can tell you, who can cut through to the truth and the fact of the matter and how it impacts you.
And when we come back after our news break, we'll talk about some of the other big issues that have dominated in New York State political discourse of late, and maybe some big races that are coming up.
But before we switch over to hearing news from the BBC, we do want to remind you that WAMC Uninterrupted is a week-long series focusing on some of the programming that you can't find anywhere else other than on this public radio station or other public media outlets. We want to, you know, emphasize and reiterate that we are here for the listener, for the community, to inform and entertain. And the only way that we will be able to keep doing that is if you can continue to support us. Each to their own ability, as we often say on WAMC. You're a full member of the station at whatever amount you can afford. We don't want you to, you know, miss a rent payment or go into any kind of debt for us. But if you do have a little extra scratch to throw our way, it cannot hurt. The phone number to call this morning, and we do have staff standing by, is 800-323-9262. Or you can pledge anytime online at WAMC.org. I also want to point out that if you have any questions or comments for our guests this morning, Ian Pickus, John Campbell, Jimmy Vailkind, and Denise Young, you can email them to panel@WAMC.org. And if they are polite enough, I will read them out loud.
I'll take the impolite ones.
Okay. We'll just self-bleep it as necessary. Again, the phone number is 800-323-9262. The website is WAMC.org. And by way of forward promotion, I want to remind everybody listening that today at 10 o'clock, we will be airing NPR's special anchored coverage of the U.S. Supreme Court. They'll be hearing oral arguments on birthright citizenship. That will begin at 10 a.m., and we will take the coverage into its duration, as for as long as it goes. We'll be back after news from the BBC. Welcome back to this morning's WAMC Uninterrupted, a focus on the New York Public News Network. In studio this morning, I'm Sarah LaDuke with Ian Pickus, John Campbell, and Jimmy Vailkind. And Denise Young is joining us from Rochester via Zoom, which really ate Skype's lunch when the pandemic started. And I don't think we talk about it enough.
Skype is done officially.
Yeah.
As of a week ago.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
We are hoping that you listening out there believe in WAMC. We're pretty sure that you do. And we're asking that you help us grow this incredible community by encouraging your friends and family and colleagues to tune in, to sign up for our e-newsletter, Airwaves, and follow WAMC on social media. Every new listener, every new supporter helps strengthen the mission that we all share. This is not just fundraising, it's friendraising. You can pledge online at WAMC.org or give us a call, 800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. If you call up today, there is staff standing by, so you can also interrogate them about what they do around here and if we should be affording them. And the answer, of course, in short, is that we should. We need everybody who works here to help keep the station going. And we thank you so much for tuning in and giving what you can when you can. The phone number, 800-323-9262, the website, WAMC.org, and you can email us, panel@WAMC.org, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share this morning. Ian Pickus, tell me more about the New York Public News Network.
Well, I was going to put Denise Young from WXXI on the spot because normally I talk to Denise on a weekly meeting of news directors and other staff and usually someone from NPR. We come together and try to explain what we're working on, what the other stations are working on, where there might be some intersecting interests, and what's on the calendar and that kind of thing. I think a big part of why we're doing this today is to demystify to a degree what news gathering actually entails. I know for listeners, a lot of times you might hear a 20-second soundbite, and a lot of times so much went into that getting to your ears. Denise, can you talk a bit about your role in, one, the NYPIN news gathering, but also in your own station, and how this work actually comes together on a daily basis?
I mean, yeah, trying to explain a newsroom, boy.
Well, there's Kleenex and computers.
I've been doing it for over 30 years, so there must be something to it. It's just a wonderful place. I mean, being in news, no day is like the next. It's just your whatever's coming up. We have beat reporting in our newsroom, so we have folks, you know, covering education, business, health, equity, so on and so forth. And so, yes, there's beat reporting, but things happen organically and you have to run and chase something if news breaks. What's bringing it to the network level, though, what's nice is that, for example, I'll just use, say Senator Schumer was having a Zoom of his own, and you know we'll say goodbye to Skype, so I'll share in that.
A Zoom of one's own.
So say Senator Schumer is having a Zoom about an issue that is important to every community in New York State. It used to be, before we started collaborating together, that every station would send a rep. They would have a reporter on, so we'd have like, you know, half a dozen reporters from various public news stations across the state covering the same Zoom. Now we are in constant contact. We use Slack to be in touch with each other, to share content, to water cooler talk, all that good stuff. And so we'll say, hey,
jokes.
Jokes, yes. Ian is the master of jokes. So
thank you so much.
He absolutely is not.
Sorry, didn't mean to. But it's simple as that. Somebody sends a message, hey, anybody covering Schumer today? Someone raises their hand. Okay, great. You know, tell us what you're going to file for that. And boom, all of a sudden, the entire network of news stations across New York have coverage from one reporter versus half a dozen. So it definitely, we all have limited resources, of course, but this network helps us maximize what resources we do have.
Yeah, and Denise, I think one other great example of that was during the recent Wildcat prison strike across New York.
Yeah.
We were able to leverage the fact that there are public media reporters in different communities across the state. We had Emily Russell from North Country Public Radio reporting on the scene there, Patricio Roballo from Radio Catskill was filing reports from correctional facilities in the Hudson Valley. Our colleague Jung Yoon Han was diving deep into what the moment meant for people who are seeking reforms in the prison system, advocating on behalf of incarcerated people. I was able to speak with peoples who were incarcerated in some downstate facilities in reports that air not just on WNYC, but here on WAMC and across the New York Public News Network, as well as speaking to the family of corrections officers. So by having such a broad network, I believe we were able to deliver coverage that benefited listeners and gave them all sides of the story. And but for the New York Public News Network, I don't think that we would have been able to deliver such a robust report on such an important statewide issue.
And then you followed up yesterday with an important hearing that was held in Albany with the corrections commissioner, right?
That's right. So yesterday I was watching a hearing that was scheduled by Democrats in the state legislature. They were looking to air and to generate some support for several measures which they hope will change oversight in the correction system. And so State Senator Julia Salazar actually spoke with my colleague, Jung Yoon Han, in a report that aired earlier this week and web copy. And I was able to listen to the hearing and
find out, and maybe listeners heard this during the newscasts, that there are still 3,000 National Guard personnel in correctional facilities around New York State, and that there is considerable pressure to implement one of the changes mandated by the recently enacted New York State budget, which is that corrections officers have body-worn cameras active at all times when they're interacting with incarcerated individuals.
John, what are you working on of late?
It's a great question.
Well, that you can say.
Well, there's some stuff that I can say, some stuff that I can't. But, you know, I'll give a little tease here. I mean, after I leave here today, I'm going to go to the New York State Museum, where there is a new exhibit from a Revolutionary War era gunboat that was discovered under the wreckage at the World Trade Center.
Wow.
15 years ago. And they're currently cleaning that up, and it's going to be under display at the New York State Museum in Albany. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, you can hear about that next week on WAMC, I'm sure, but a little tease there. That's something I'm working on. And, you know, we're still looking at the impact of the state budget, right? Like, that is the biggest thing that your representatives do at the state capitol in Albany every single year. It was a month late, more than a month late. It is more than $250 billion of spending. And there's a lot of questions about, you know, federal funding, which the state budget relies on to the tune of $90 billion. You know, what happens if that federal funding is cut? What happens if Donald Trump and Congress follow through on slashing parts of the budget? And that is really going to kind of dominate our coverage for the days and weeks to come. I mean, there's just a lot of question marks there. So, you know, that is our general focus here. But, you know, we also do like to do some of those audio rich, more human interesty angles when we do have the time, like today with that gunship that you'll be able to hear about next week.
Well, you know I love a softball story. You did a really fun one with the assembly matchup last spring. And did Speaker Hasty get a big hit late or something like that?
I don't remember that. It wasn't quite that dramatic. But no, that was a charity softball game between the assembly Democrats and Republicans that ended up being like way more intense than I thought it was going to be. Like, both sides really, really wanted to win that. Democrats ended up winning. But, you know, they also have a much bigger pool of lawmakers to pick from. They have a, you know, it's not exactly a fair fight in that regard.
One other thing I want to say for the New York Public News Network is that it helps keep the public officials around these areas accountable, because there are more people who are able to track what they're doing, you know, where their campaign donations are coming from, how they're voting on certain bills. And congressionally speaking, because that's something that I work on here at the station as the host of Congressional Corner now, you know, WAMC has this huge listening area. And in a lot of these places, you know, a member of Congress might be covered by three or four public stations. And so they have multiple audiences to speak to within their district. But also, I've coordinated a ton with, you know, WSKG about how to question Congressman Josh Riley or Mark Molinaro before him. We work together on debates and things like that. This morning, Claudia Tenney, who represents a sprawling district in upstate New York, has a press conference that it would obviously help everybody who's in her district to have more eyes on. And a great example of how that's come together in the last several years is coverage of Elise Stefanik, who we all expect to have a job in the future that might not be the congresswoman from Northern New York in New York 21. And there have been times when, you know, North Country and WAMC have worked together on covering Stefanik, especially after the 2020 election. And now that she will not be the UN ambassador, we did a lot of work on a special election that didn't happen. And so that's really important for listeners in a way that they might not always appreciate, that there are a lot of eyes on the block.
Well, you know, and I also say, too, you know, I was just talking about the budget, right? And that is, again, that kind of dominates what we cover at the Capitol for much of the year. And just thinking about what it takes to cover that, right? It is not a particularly transparent process. A lot of the budget is put together, the New York State budget is put together by the governor, the Senate leader and the Assembly leader behind closed doors, and their top staffers behind closed doors. So Jimmy and I and Jung-Yoon Han spend lots and lot, I mean, just hours and hours trying to chase down any morsel of news that happens during that negotiation process so we can tell the people of New York State what their representatives are doing and what the holdups in this budget are and what, you know, Governor Hochul is trying to slip in at the last minute, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it is, you know, Jim, for one example, Jimmy had a great story about Governor Hochul introducing masking restrictions at the very last minute in budget talks. And, you know, that wouldn't have come out were it not for shoe leather reporting and keeping in touch with lawmakers and who may have been briefed on it. And that is, that takes time. Time is money. We need money to keep this going. I mean, that's how it goes. That's just the reality of the situation.
And the flip side of that is John was the first to break news of new tax that is going to be levied on some downstate businesses in order to fund the MTA and necessary capital infrastructure requirements and upgrades for the MTA. Again, having multiple people at the Capitol, having seasoned, experienced reporters at the Capitol lets us do that and lets us tell the public what's going on, even when lawmakers who are considering and eventually enacting this, you know, quarter trillion with a TR budget and these thousands of pages of policies, even before they're ready to say what they're doing, we are here to tell people. And I think that the support for that is what makes it possible.
WAMC Uninterrupted this morning with a focus on the New York Public News Network. Joining me, Ian Pickus, John Campbell, Jimmy Vielkind, and Denise Young. You can support WAMC anytime at WAMC.org. If you are able, consider making a donation today. Your support helps ensure that WAMC remains strong, independent, and free to all, especially at a time when reliable, fact-based journalism is more important than ever. The phone number is 800-323-9262. You can pledge online at WAMC.org. We are going to take a moment here to hear from some underwriters, and we'll return just after this. Welcome back to WAMC Uninterrupted. I'm Sarah LaDuke. We are focusing this morning on the New York Public News Network. Here with Ian Pickus, WAMC's news director, WNYC reporters John Campbell and Jimmy Vielkind, and executive editor of WXXI News in Rochester, Denise Young. You can support the station anytime by pledging at WAMC.org or giving us a call at 800-323-9262.
Now, Denise, I have some Albany questions for these fellas. But before I do that, one thing we talk about a lot is that Albany is a bubble. And I think the people in this room are sort of hyper-focused on the Capitol. What's been your perspective as a news person in Rochester over these years with having to pay attention to state government and its impacts, but doing so from a perspective of being several hours away?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to mention that, you know, when we were conceptualizing what the expanded bureau would be as we were preparing for this, you know, we talked a lot about what that vision should be. And, you know, the one thing that we wanted to make sure that we were doing with three public media reporters in the Capitol Bureau is to produce that accountability coverage that Jimmy and John have talked about a lot, engaging the public on policy issues. And that helps break that bubble. These are issues that affect every New Yorker. And I won't get into the upstate, downstate thing, because I know it's a sore subject for John.
Where is it, Denise? Where is it?
The hard-hitting questions.
It's in your heart, John. It's in your heart.
But, I mean, what we're doing, I think, is bridging that gap to a degree. We are reporting on Jimmy and John and Jung-Yoon every day. They're reporting issues that are important to all New Yorkers. And so, It really has, I think, burst that bubble, and making sure that we are reporting on, you know, these issues versus, like, I don't know, whatever the latest controversy is, really makes a difference to listeners all across the state.
Now, Jimmy, you're my contemporary, and I think we had a similar experience of driving around in the backseat growing up with Selected Shorts blasting, right?
That's right. I can remember car talk at the Little League games and tying my shoes on my way to get the bus to elementary school, listening to the Sloan Sessions and learning as a very, very young man the importance of Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve. And I owe that to public media. So it's actually kind of a surreal experience for me to be doing this job. As I said earlier, I'm going to be 17 years as a reporter on the state capitol come November of this year. And this is my fifth different outlet covering it. And it's been very, very gratifying and interesting just in these last few months working for public media and working for the New York Public News Network to have people from different corners of my life get back in touch with me and say, I heard you on the radio. I heard you on the radio. So being here is surreal as a person whose family was always listening to WAMC growing up, whose family has consistently supported the station over the years, as a father.
Thank you, Bill Kynes.
As a father who every morning still puts the radio on, and I don't know what I'm doing to my children. They're now 14 and 10 years old. I don't know if they're being infected the same way that I was.
But here's hoping.
Here's hoping. And, you know, it's great to be a sustaining member of this station myself and to be sustained by this station, by others, and hopefully to meet the expectations and the hopes of our diverse set of listeners around the state in doing so. So I'm happy to be here. And again, it's always surreal to me to have the privilege of sharing the news, sharing the stories of the people that I grew up talking to, and the people who I've come to know over the course of my professional career in this state.
So we're a little short on time, but I always like to do a lightning round. I want to run through some New York State politics stuff with you guys while you're here. We're about a month out from the New York City mayoral election, the Democratic primary. Andrew Cuomo seems to be in really good shape to win. So is it your expectation that we'll be saying Mayor Cuomo pretty soon?
Oh, boy. quite possibly. I mean, listen, the poll after poll after poll shows him in the lead, right? I'm not going to make a prediction whether that holds up, whatever. But listen, all available evidence is he is the front runner and by a good margin. That said, you know, we are more than a month away from primary day. So campaigns are just starting to ramp up their spending on ads in particular. But that's a big gap to overcome. The one candidate who seems to have the best chance, maybe not a very good chance, of taking over of overtaking Andrew Cuomo as the front runner here is Zoran Mamdani. He's a Queens Assembly member who has really kind of tapped into social media and you know, digital campaigning, as well as having a very, very robust ground game of people knocking on doors. He seems to be the one candidate at this moment that has the best chance of running toe to toe with Andrew Cuomo, but he's still got a lot of ground to makeup.
And this can go either way, but he has a lot of support from progressive celebrities.
I saw him, he posted video of him at the MJ Lenderman concert at Brooklyn Steel.
Pretty so hip.
There you go.
He's
pretty hot right now in that in that circle. So there you go.
So I was thinking about getting ready to talk to you guys. You know, there was this Albany sit down between Tom Suozzi and Kathy Hochul where they buried the hatchet. What happens if Cuomo becomes the mayor, and as he used to argue when he was governor, the city is a creature of the state. What happens with Hochul and Cuomo's relationship?
Oh, I'm sure it'll just be fine.
Not much to talk about there.
Yeah. You know, as you said, Ian, there is a natural historical tension between mayors of New York City and governors of New York State. There was a phrase in the Tammany Hall days that the city is but pie for the hayseeds. And, you know, there's a very good argument to be made that the structures of New York government were designed so that the state would be able to kind of override and prevent New York City, which at the time that these things were put in place was dominated by immigrants and Democrats, from doing things that were far too wild. So there is lots of natural power baked into the legal structures of New York's government that give New York state government a heavy say and a heavy oversight of New York City. But we know that Andrew Cuomo, who has been working in New York politics since before I was born, is very good at managing and leveraging structures of power and in this state to get what he wants. And having covered Kathy Hochul for several years, she is not quite as adept and rapacious as Cuomo is in doing so. So I think there will be quite a bit to watch if that happens.
You know, the other thing I'd say too is Kathy Hochul, Governor Hochul, has held her fire on Andrew Cuomo, and Andrew Cuomo has done the same with Governor Hochul in these last few months, and that is significant to me. That shows that they're not, you know, neither of them are on the attack at this moment. And, you know, that might be because they're viewing it as an inevitability that they may have to work together, regardless of whether they want to or not.
We just have a couple minutes left, but what's left on the legislative session table here now that we're eventually passed the budget, which was announced April 28th and approved 10 days later. Lawmakers are still here through June. What are a couple issues you guys are looking at?
Two of the big ones that I'll be watching are that bill which would legalize physician-assisted suicide or medical aid in dying. That has passed the state assembly by a relatively tight margin, and the Democrats who control the state Senate are deciding whether they'll bring it to the floor. We have both proponents and opponents of that bill starting to converge on the Capitol. I expect there'll be a lot of conversation about that. I'm also interested to see what, if anything, the state legislature does regarding greater protections for immigrants in the state. There has been a push for legislation which would essentially create a sanctuary state policy in law. That seems to have gained a lot more attention and some more traction given the Trump administration's actions and its high-profile deportations of undocumented people in New York.
And quickly, I would also say the prison reform measures that Jimmy spoke about earlier that there was a hearing on yesterday, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure to act on that before the end of the legislative session, which is in mid-June. I mean, it's right around the corner.
Hey, Denise, in 30 seconds, what's your grand vision for the New York Public News Network if we can ever finish, figure out this funding situation?
Oh, boy. I'd love to see a full-time editor dealing directly with all the stations every single day so we can do even more collaborative journalism. That would be my number one goal, and I really want to make that happen before I retire in 10 years.
Tick tock. It'll be here before you know it.
Public media is a trusted source of fact-based, independent journalism, free from commercial influence, and your support powers WAMC and its commitment to the truth, transparency, and local reporting like the work of our guests this morning. WAMC Uninterrupted is a new endeavor where we highlight programs like the New York Public News Network to remind you what WAMC provides. Thank you, gentlemen, and Denise, for being here. Appreciate you all very much.
Thank you so much.
We're so lucky to have all of your contributions on WAMC. Thank you. Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.